Hey, what's going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Walk On College Football Podcast here with Shooting the Sports Ish. We have an absolutely incredible show planned for you and a handful of things that we're going to talk about. JB and I are really excited to get into, but apparently we have 10 more years of Nick Saban. Yeah. So in speculation this week, people were asking Nick Saban kind of how much time you got, that kind of thing, kicking the tires a little bit on it. And Saban just straight up told a guy that he's got like 10 years left.
Oh, I'm so excited about that.
That's so cool. I'm so happy.
Oh, I'm so happy.
I am just as excited as you are. Welcome into the dorm room. For those of you joining us, if you're listening, if you're on the live stream, we appreciate you guys hanging out with us. If you can, go to YouTube, go to Shooting the Sports Ish, find us on there, like, subscribe, leave a comment. That would be super helpful for us. If you're listening to us on a podcast, if you could leave us a review and give us a 5-star rating, if you think we deserve it, if you think we don't deserve it, give us the rating you think we deserve. That would be awesome, too. You can also follow us on Twitter at WalkOnSTSI. We are over on Twitter. You can come hang out with us there. JB, I've been using Twitter Spaces a lot lately on our Walk On podcast, and we've met some really cool people there.
Yes, we have.
A lot of Oklahoma fans. I've somehow made it into the Sooner circle.
Sooner circle.
I don't know how I got there, but I did, and it works because we both share a hatred for Texas. So we meet on common ground there. So it's fun. But there are a lot of good people there. Been able to hang out with them in the spaces. If you're not using spaces and you want to connect with people or groups, I would suggest that maybe you use spaces so you can connect with people or groups. We've gotten some follows out of it, so that's been pretty cool. But mostly, we've just been able to talk college football over these last few weeks, which is really what it's all about in the fall. It's college football.
And we had a good interaction in the space a couple of days ago. Actually, yeah. one of the players came through, and that was very interesting.
Yeah, it was cool, man. I've had some players come through. I was in the spaces today with a TCU wide receiver who was hanging out with us for a little while.
Wow.
We were talking about that over there. They were asking him why everybody wants Gary Patterson fired. And he was basically like, that's all really external stuff. Internally, we're not worried about it. And Patterson's not going anywhere, but everybody likes to make it seem like he is. So that was cool. It was really cool insight. Listen, anytime I can sit in front of a player and gain insight into whatever it is they do, I'm going to do it. So that was really fun. JB, we have a lot of news that we're going to talk about in segment one. Segment two, we're going to break down the games from last weekend, our games from last weekend. We're going to look ahead at next week.
Your game last week.
I know. And then we're going to look ahead at your game this weekend because Tennessee's on a bye. We're going to look at some big games around the country. And then segment three, as always, we're going to update our season-long game that you and I have been doing, our record game. And then we're going to give the best bets. So that's segments one, two, and three, and then we're going to get out of here. I was looking, JB, at the AP top 25 poll, and I want to talk for a second about just how badly Oklahoma is getting screwed. So Alabama wins. They beat Tennessee. They beat us, which we'll talk about in segment two.
Mm-hmm.
And they jumped Oklahoma to three. So, listen, I am happy that people think so highly of Tennessee that should move Alabama up in the rankings. That's what I'm going to go with, even though I know it's not true. Connor says, hey, JB and Cam. What up, Connor?
What's going on, Connor?
What up with you? Apparently, a big win is better than a close win. a 7-1 win is better than an 8-0 win? Because I'm staring at the screen, JB, and Oklahoma won. There's a zero in the loss column for them.
I'm not sure who Alabama has in the pocket. I'm really not sure, because we talked about this 2 weeks in a row now,
mm-hmm.
between what happened with them losing Texas A&M and conversely what happened when Iowa lost and how far they fell.
Well, we can even go a step. We can look at another set of two teams in the top 10. Ohio State is ranked ahead of Michigan. And Ohio State is 6-1, and Michigan is 7-0. So, again, the same people that we think Alabama has in their pocket are probably the same people that Ohio State has in their pocket. Because, again, JB, I've got my pen. I'm looking at the screen. I'm even circling it. Michigan has a zero in their loss column, mm-hmm. which I've deduced to mean that they've won every game they've played this year.
That's interesting, Cal.
Yeah, and Ohio State hasn't, and they're ranked ahead of an undefeated Michigan and a 6-1 Oregon team who was the team that beat Ohio State. Now, granted, Oregon lost to Stanford, which is just an ugly loss. Like, I can't really defend that. But if we're going to go back to Ohio State, Michigan, Alabama and Ohio State have the cushiest, spots in college sports, I think.
Yeah. Now, according to, how everything works out with the poll and this stuff, Ohio State did lose to Oregon, and that was in the beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, I believe, 4 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they've been winning ever since.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So obviously, by the record. Mm-hmm. So they've been on a, they've been, you know, correcting the ship, and they've just been just moving along, just quietly. Nobody's really talking about it. Mm-hmm. So I can kind of forgive that, only because it was early. If this is within the last few weeks, then we probably have more to talk about.
While that's fair, they're still undefeated. And I just think it's really because here's the thing, right? And this is such a homer statement that I'm gonna make. People give the SEC crap about how Alabama is treated by the pollers, by the voters, and I agree with them on that. I'm not gonna deny that. Ohio State gets the same exact treatment that Alabama gets. The only difference is Alabama knows how to win the last game of the year. That's literally the only difference. But Ohio State gets the same breaks that Alabama gets. And they just do. Like, I don't know how else to say it. You know what I mean?
I mean, it's really hard to argue with you, all things considered. I'm trying to be a little bit more fair because haven't seen the rise and fall of Ohio State from between week 2 and to where they are now, what the drop-off was. I honestly feel like if you're in the top 10 and you lose to an unranked team, you should plummet. Mm-hmm. But they lost to a fellow top 10 team at the time. So should it really be that bad?
Yeah. And, I mean, again, we can go back to this, too. If we want to space even further out, Alabama lost to an unranked team, and they're ranked ahead of an undefeated Oklahoma, Ohio State, whose only loss was to a top-5 Oregon team, and Michigan, who's also undefeated. Alabama's currently ranked ahead of all three of them.
Yeah, which is blasphemous in itself, considering that Iowa dropped like they did, the next week.
Yeah, it is crazy. And Michigan State's undefeated at 8. There's just craziness. There's craziness that's happening. Connor said Michigan hasn't played anybody this year. Saturday versus Michigan State is their first ranked game of the season. I mean, that's fair. I guess I'll give you that. But it still cracks me up.
We're going to find out a lot about Michigan this weekend.
We are going to find out a lot about Michigan this weekend, and that's definitely coming up in segment number 2. wanted to talk about the Oklahoma disrespect that they're getting, which they are getting. JB, a team that we should be talking about this weekend going into the Ohio State game is an undefeated Penn State. However, comma space, what comma we're space. Now talking about is a one-loss Penn State team who lost in 9 overtimes to Illinois. By the way, a 9 overtime game that combined for 38 points.
How do you have 9 overtimes in the first place?
One of the most miserable games ever that went 9 overtimes anyways. Like, that game had to be miserable to watch.
Like, it had to be miserable to play. Can you imagine on the sidelines? We're going to go down. We're going to get a field goal. We're going to close it out. Yeah. And, okay, another overtime. We're going to go down. We're going to get a touchdown. Yeah. Oh. Like, how do you go to 9 overtimes? I'm sure those boys were exhausted.
Yeah. I mean, they had to be. And this also brings up a good point, or, well, a point anyways, because we haven't really seen it up until now. After the second overtime, it just becomes a 2-point game, mm-hmm. right? So the rule has changed where after the, I think it's the second or third overtime, it just becomes where both teams go for 2. And you just go until somebody gets the 2-point conversion and somebody else doesn't. I kind of don't like the new rule. I like the idea of the ball's on the 25 and you have to go score. I get, like, we got to speed it up and, you know, we got to make sure that it doesn't run long, which sort of makes sense, I guess. I don't know, but I like the traditional overtime of, you know, you play until you score and somebody else doesn't, but it's everybody gets the ball from the 25. I don't know. How do you feel about the new rules?
I mean, I agree with you. I don't like the new rules. Just 25 and push it in. Like, I feel like that mm-hmm. was the best rule in all of sports when it came to overtime. Mm-hmm. It's simple. It's competitive. It creates high drama. And it's just far enough that you just know by the end of it who the better team is.
Yeah. So that kind of started the week of weirdness for James Franklin. It only got tougher, JB. Twice in the press conference that Franklin had, well, the press or the post-practice pressers that the coaches do every day. Twice, I think on Tuesday, Franklin said, asking about the distractions, a lot of people think he's going to USC. And when asked about how to deal with the distractions, on separate occasions, he said, I'm not worried about that. Our only focus right now is on Illinois. Which is not what you want to hear from a coach when you just played Illinois. And the game you should be looking at is Ohio State. So that's not good.
No, it's not.
JB, I'll raise you one more. I don't know if you saw this.
Okay.
Twice, he also referred to the shoe as the big house. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, so lay the points. Take the over. Ohio State's going to drop a million on them.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he referred to the shoe as the big house twice. On accident.
Oh, my God.
He did it. So it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm.
This is a raw reaction, ladies and gentlemen. If you're unfamiliar with college football, that's an unforgivable sin.
This is the highest level of blasphemy that you and I have seen this season. I won't say of all time, but this particular season is the highest level of blasphemy that you and I have come across.
Oh my God. Yeah. How do you show your face after that?
I don't know. I don't know if he was trying to get the guys riled. I don't know what he was doing, but it probably didn't work.
No, absolutely not.
we call that. JB, you've played college ball.
Yes.
Does the phrase bulletin board material actually exist?
Absolutely.
In spades.
Absolutely. Let me tell you something. What's up? I'm gonna go, it even exists in high school.
Yeah. Please.
I'm going to give one good example of this. We lost our starting back, Thomas Brown, who's now the running backs coach for the LA Rams.
Nice.
He had broke his leg against Marist, who was the quarterback of Marist that year that he broke his leg. Who? Sean McVay.
Nah. Oh wow, that's crazy.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
So we broke our leg against Thomas Brown. Thomas Brown broke his leg, and we played. I forgot who we played. I want to say it was like North Springs or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but they went in the paper and they said, "Oh, they're a one-person team. Were there no way they're gonna beat us?"
Yeah,
I think we hung 40 on them and only allowed 10 points.
Yeah,
bulletin board material definitely exists.
Yeah,
you can't. You're not gonna go to the paper and say, "Hey, we're gonna do this. This thing is gonna happen," or "This team is not that good," or what have you, and think they're not gonna see it, hear it, and take it to heart.
Yeah.
And if you want a more recent example when it comes to college football, look what De'Aaron King said about Alabama. Look versus what actually happened.
Oh, so that was actually fake. That was a fake report that came out.
That was a fake report. Well, they took that really personally.
That was a fake report. De'Aaron King never said that.
Well, they took it really personally.
They did. They took, and I took that personally, to quote Michael Jordan. If Alabama was Michael Jordan in that moment, it was, and I took that personally.
Yeah.
Which, again, a crazy scenario. The guy never said what Jordan allegedly claimed that he said to him that he took personally.
Yeah.
That guy never said that. This was a legitimate Alabama and Jordan thing. It's a perfect crossover.
That's just wild. But I don't know. Like, especially if there's already bad blood that exists.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's already going to be chippy when we show up. You're talking about like more gas on the fire. Nah, bro.
And then on top of that, James Franklin also got a new agent this week. He changed companies and went to CAA. JB, I don't know if you're familiar with CAA, but CAA is the biggest agency in all of college sports.
That's not ominous at all.
No, it's not like he's waiting for a pay raise from anywhere.
Nah.
He didn't go out and hire the same guy that also is the agent for Jimbo Fisher and Nick Saban and others. That's fine. Nah. We're fine.
Very bizarre. It doesn't mean anything.
Everybody in Happy Valley is fine. It's fine.
Oh, yeah. It's fine. Like it's fine.
It's fine. It's
fine.
We're going to be fine.
Just perfect. Hunky dory.
Yes. We
Peaches
are.
Peaches and cream.
Peaches and cream. Great song. Shout out to that song.
Yeah. That's right. I actually had a cop tell me that one time. That's where I got that from.
Peaches and cream?
Yeah. Like, who's going around everybody that play Peaches and cream tonight? That's that a long story.
Being in Georgia, living in Georgia, that makes sense that you would get a Peaches thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's just a lot going on in Penn State right now, and I feel bad for the fan base, I think, right?
Right. You have to.
Because he's got to be gone, right?
Oh, yeah, at this point, absolutely.
He's got to be gone.
Like, just on principle alone at this point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jeez.
Crazy, crazy week. Penn State ends up dropping to Illinois. Illinois. How is Illinois the one that hangs people up? This team is not that good. Like, they're just not. They're not. And Penn State should be able to muster more than 18 points. You just should.
Rule of thumb in sports in any given time, if you're not focused, It's not just any given Sunday. It can be any given day.
Yeah.
That's just a rule of thumb. I mean, if you don't believe me, you don't really watch college sports like that, you can look at the Lakers the other night.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Like, it really can happen. If you're not focused, if you're not locked in, you're not taking it seriously, or just the other team just has a chip on the shoulder, they came to play. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. JB, it took 9 overtimes in 4 quarters for Illinois and Penn State to put up a combined 38 points. It took Wake Forest and Army 4 quarters to put up 126 points. The final score for this game was 70-56. JB, Wake Forest wins, by the way, 7-0 now. What the heck?
Ass undefeated in the ACC.
The best team in the ACC, and it's going to be like Wake. I think it's going to be like Wake Forest and Pitt in the ACC title game.
That is so ridiculous to think about, to process.
Pitt beat Clemson by 10 this weekend.
Yeah.
Wake scored 70 points in 4 quarters. JB, what was Wake Forest's time of possession to get to 70 points out of 60? If you had to take a gander, they had to score 70 points.
If I had to guess, I would probably say, given how they've looked this year,
yeah,
I would probably say 25 minutes.
17 minutes.
Shut the front door.
They had the ball for 17 minutes of the game and scored 70 points.
That's unreal.
It was dumb stupid.
All right. So for those of you who don't understand how ridiculous that is. All right. 17 total minutes of play of offense for 4 quarters. They scored 10 touchdowns. That's like a touchdown in under 2 minutes. That's like a touchdown every 90 seconds.
Yeah, and did not turn the ball over.
Did not turn the ball over. Were there any defense, the special teams, defenses, all offense?
There was 1,237 yards of total offense between both teams.
Sheesh.
Army, and here's the thing too. So Army puts up 56 points, by the way. Both teams covered the game spread individually, or the game total individually.
That's wild.
Army puts up 56 points, has 600 yards of total offense, runs 83 plays, and has the ball for 17 minus 60, 43 minutes of play. And they lost. Not only did they lose, they lost by double digits.
How do you feel after a loss like that?
I don't know. Wake Forest threw for 458 yards. Army ran for 420 yards because they run the triple option.
Right.
Wake's quarterback, Hartman, was 23 of 29 for 458 and 5 touchdowns.
That's insane.
Yeah. They almost had they had almost three receivers that hit 100 yards receiving for Wake Forest.
Let's talk about Hartman for just a second.
Mm-hmm.
How does he look going into the pros, like, after this year? Like, realistically.
I mean.
His stock has to be, like, as high as it's ever going to be right now.
Unless,
you know, when the ACC win a bowl game or something better.
Yeah. Right. So he's only a sophomore, so he can't come out yet.
Yeah.
But he's currently got just over 2,000 yards passing, 19 touchdowns, only 3 interceptions. He'll eclipse every mark that he set last year, which last year was his career year. He'll eclipse all of those this year. So he'll go career year on top of career year. Yeah.
I mean,
that guy's he's good.
He's the focal point. He's the focal point of, you know, that Wake Forest offense.
Yeah, his quarterback rating was 269 for that Army game. Oh, never mind. I'm sorry. His QBR was 98.
Okay, I'm about to say.
But his rating was like 269 or something like that. It's stupid.
Okay, that makes more sense. Okay, that's still insane.
It is, man. What a huge game for him. I mean, I just hope he builds on it. Like,
man.
I hope this Wake Forest team goes undefeated and wins the ACC.
What's the yards per drop back?
20 like drop back 29 times and basically threw for 460 yards. So
that's got to be insane.
15.8 yards per throw, not even per completed pass, just per drop back. He averaged 16 yards.
I don't know what those numbers are, but just looking at that, just every time you drop back, you're guaranteed at least that much.
Yeah.
Whether you hit it or not, that's insane.
Yeah. Nuts. What does the committee do if they're staring at an undefeated Wake Forest team that has won the ACC?
I guess it depends where they're at numerically.
Well, right now they're 16th. Well, let me see. Actually, that might not be true. Are they on a bye this weekend? I think they're on a bye this weekend. So they were 16th last week. They are. This is riveting television. I know it is. They're 13th. So they're ranked 13th right now. They're 7-0. Wake Forest has Duke, UNC, NC State, at Clemson, and at Boston College for the last five games. If they win out and then win the ACC, which it looks like it's going to be Wake Forest versus Pitt in the ACC title game this year.
Who had that in their big of heart?
Seriously. This could be an undefeated Wake Forest team that's going to the college football playoff.
I don't know if they jump high enough to make the playoffs. I don't know.
I mean, they would need a lot to happen. They would need the Big Ten to sort itself out.
And it will. These are this week is the first week of that happening.
And they need Alabama to lose another game to just make sure that there's no way that they need Alabama to lose in the SEC title game. That's what they need.
We got that covered.
Yeah, they need Alabama to lose in the SEC title game and just get them out. There's not even a thought. I don't have to worry about them. They need the Big Ten to sort itself out. And to make sure. They would need Oregon to lose another game too. Because right now, Oregon is a one-loss Pac-12 team, might sneak in there. But if Oregon loses, Alabama loses again, and the Big Ten sorts itself out, Wake Forest could be the 4 seed going into the national tournament this year.
It could. Yeah, but it needs a lot to happen.
Oh, yes. It does.
A lot to happen. Like, everybody in the Big Ten are going to need to at least drop a game.
Yeah, which if Michigan loses this weekend, then they're definitely losing to Ohio State.
Right.
The insanity would be if Penn State beats Ohio State this weekend. That would be all just absolute insanity if the Big Ten does that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm not sure who the schedule makers were, but they really backloaded the Big Ten.
No kidding. God. Michigan plays a top 10 team every other week for the rest of the year.
Like, just lock them in a room, just like, you figure it out.
Yeah. Dude, talk about backloaded. And then they, like, here's the other thing I don't get. I don't get a lot of things about the Big Ten because I just think their operation is not run very well. I don't understand why the Big Ten wanted to corner the market on noon games.
Mm.
I don't get that.
I don't get that either.
The best Big Ten matchup of every week kicks off at noon. The Big Noon Kick is what they're calling. which they've been doing for a few years now. I don't get that. Michigan State is a 6-8, and they're kicking off at noon.
You would think you would want more eyes on that.
Yes, kickoff at 7:30. I don't get this.
I don't understand it either. Like as a play, like even as a player, like you play at noon, sure, but
you don't want to play at noon.
You don't want to play noon.
God no.
But you want the lights though. Like you always want the lights.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's just a different feel. It's a different atmosphere. It's a different electricity when you got those lights beaming on you and you can see the lights on the grass and the refs and you got the band going in the background. You got the night sky. Just it's a different feel when you're playing at night as opposed to noon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. It doesn't make any sense. That's the big news of the week, of last week, and kind of this week, too. We mixed and matched a little bit. It's what we do. It doesn't really matter. We're going to move into segment two. JB, segment two is brought to you by Sleefs.com. Head over to Sleefs.com, Sleefs.com, and at checkout, type in promo code STSI25. You get 25% off your entire order at checkout. All of the excellent and awesome and well-fitting active gear and workout gear that you could ever need. If you've got little kids that are playing sports, particularly football or baseball, Sleefs has you covered. They've got everything you could use. They've got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of different designs. One for sure that your kids are going to love running out onto the field with. So head over to Sleefs.com. That's Sleefs.com and check out promo code STSI25 for 25% off your whole purchase. For those listening to us on the podcast, we wanted to say that. For those of you that are watching the video or you're on the live stream with us, we're running the ticker down below. And if you're listening to the podcast, come join us for the live streams. It's every Thursday night. We're in the dorm room. We're live from the dorm room. So come hang out with us. But that's what segment two is promoted by because we're going to get into the actual football that happened last week. Your boys, JB, were off last week.
Yes.
How did we enjoy the bye week?
Oh, man. What we did in the bye week was, you know, we did a little bit of walking, did hit the gym a little bit. Just did a little relaxation because we earned it, you know, because we're just, you know, no big deal. Just the number one team in the land.
Just the number one team in the land. That's all.
I mean, just another week in office for us.
It's whatever.
It's what. It's really whatever. It is what it is.
It is what it is. JB, Tennessee did not have the week off last weekend.
No, you guys did not.
No, Tennessee went down to Tuscaloosa because we do that every other year, and it's a lot of fun. So here's what I wanted to do. I have the same – you and I talked about this off camera.
Yes.
For the Alabama and the Georgia games, I have the same two bars to measure against. Can we score more than their defense is allowing this year? And can we cover the spread? We were going to do both, but late in the game we made a bad decision. Hooker threw an out route when the wide receiver ran an in route. Easy pick. You guys go, or Alabama goes down and scores. Alabama scores again. Game kind of gets away from us. The final score ended up being 52-24. I've talked to a lot of Alabama fans and a lot of just other college football fans in the other spaces that we've done. I have yet to talk to an Alabama fan that actually recognizes the score as what it was. It was not a 30-point win for Alabama.
No.
It was probably more like a 17-point win for Alabama.
Like you guys,
it became 30 late in the game.
You guys really hung in there. You guys had everybody kind of shook for a while.
We did. We really did. I think we, in the first quarter and a half, I legitimately think we scared Alabama. We scared the Alabama fans.
Absolutely.
In the next quarter, I think we worried them and we pestered them. In the next quarter and a half. And then in the last quarter, the depth just weighed in and they pulled away and they were fine. But I think we legitimately worried them for three out of the four quarters.
Absolutely.
Which is awesome because, again, we still don't have a full – we're still not fully healthy.
Also got to keep in mind, like, you guys had a lead.
We did.
And held it for a minute.
Yes.
Before the everything else ensued.
Yeah.
You guys hung in there with the former – number one team in the land.
I saw what you did there.
Like, you know, former, because they used to be because they lost. But yeah, like, you guys did that.
We did. We had, yeah, absolutely. We had a lead twice in that game, I think. Or tied. We tied it, and we also had the lead at some point too.
Yeah.
It was very interesting. Seldom will a game be played where the team that lost by 30 was more excited at the end of the game than the team that won by 30. But I think we're seeing that here. I think more and more people are buying into Heupel and what he could possibly do and what he's showing. I think a lot of people really fell in love with him for the Alabama game. And rightfully so, I think. I hope he's going to be around for a while. I think he's going to build a really good program. I fear that in 7 years, he's going to be an offensive coordinator in the NFL. Mm-hmm. But if he really wants to, if his heart is in college football, I think he's going to be around Tennessee for a long time. But I could also see somebody throwing a large check at him to go be an offensive coordinator in the NFL. As the NFL continues to move towards a pass-heavy offense, I think somebody is going to try and snatch Heupel up, and as well they should, to go to the next level. But if his heart's in college football, I think he's going to be around Knoxville for a while. I was really happy about the game.
You guys, over the last few weeks, as opposed to the early weeks of the season, look completely different on offense. Like, and I'm not saying this because, you know, I got the best podcast partner in the business, but we play in 2 weeks. I'm kind of watching just a little bit, and just it's not exactly a comfortable feeling about facing that Tennessee offense anymore.
Good. I mean, I'm happy to hear that.
Like, I'm legit, like, I mean, I'm not worried about you guys defensively, but offensively, it's like,
I mean, listen, you're not wrong. I think I will say, though, defensively, Tennessee leads the nation in tackles for loss. We have more tackles for loss through eight games than we had all season last year. We currently have 70 tackles for loss this season, and that leads the whole nation. Mm. So our defense is not getting talked about enough. But it is there. I really like Banks, and I like what he does, our defensive coordinator. But that was really it last weekend. Kind of knew what we were going into. We really just wanted a spark. We wanted something that we could see that we could build on. And we got it. We got it for three quarters. You know, again, it is what it is with the, you know, we're not playing with a full 52 card deck, and everybody knows that. So what we have been able to do has been awesome.
Yeah. I mean, when you're going to get somebody who, like, as we talked about off camera, just has better horses, mm-hmm. and you're able to do what you're doing against those better horses, then you should be impressed. You should be happy. You mm-hmm. should have cause for optimism in the future, because these aren't even his guys. And the guys you do guys have currently have, they're young and they're going to grow up. They're going to mature and you're going to see a difference. And that's a lot sooner than later. And the fact that you have guys at this point early in this regime buying into what they're being sold and you're seeing the dividends, it's only going to get better.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that we talked about this too. I think every SEC team is going to be scared to see us in 2 years. Mm. I don't necessarily think it'll be next year because, again, Heupel came in on a short offseason, so his first full recruiting class wasn't even last year. It's going to be next year.
Mm-hmm.
I think in 2 years, I don't think there's an SEC team that's going to want to see us on the schedule, which is a feeling that I have never felt as a Tennessee fan. Or if I did, I would have been like 8, so I wouldn't have understood what it meant anyways. That's a lot of fun. We're headed into a bye week. We're getting some people healthy. We had a quarterback enter the transfer portal, Harrison Bailey. So now Tennessee has two, count them, two scholarship quarterbacks on our roster and 3 walk-ons.
Mm.
We had 5 scholarship quarterbacks on our roster in June. It's October, and we have 2.
Hey, so it is what it is. I mean, the job is one.
Yeah, the growing
pains. There can only be one.
The growing pains are what they are. You know what I mean? We knew they were coming, but we're headed into a bye week, so I'm excited about that. I have no idea what to do this weekend, so I've poured a drink already. But now that means that we get to look at this weekend. And JB, there's a big game that's happening in Jacksonville this weekend.
Is it?
Georgia is back.
Off the bye week. Are we back?
Georgia's back off the bye week. They're healthy. We've cleaned up some stuff. The little knick-knack injuries are healed. Georgia's ready to go. Before we get into the game, I do have a question that I want to ask you, and then you can segue into whatever lovely thing you'd like to talk about. I don't really care. Kirby Smart this year, I would argue, has been the most vocal about doing away with the game in Jacksonville at a neutral site, because it's not neutral.
No, it's definitely not.
And I understand his argument, and he makes some really good points. He can't bring recruits to that game because he can't keep them there all day. You know what I mean? Like, you bring a recruit to a home game, they show up on campus at like 10 a.m. They're doing tours. They're checking out facilities. They're talking with particular players. They're talking with former players. And then the game starts and you have them on the sidelines. You've got somebody handling them. You've got somebody taking them from place to place to place. And here's your, you know, here are your vouchers, here's your ticket, here's your lanyard, you know, all these kind of things that you can do at a home game, which would be great for Georgia to be able to do in Athens versus Florida. But in Jacksonville, in a neutral site every year, he can't bring recruits to the biggest game of the year as far as the SEC East is concerned. Mm. And it has been the biggest game in the SEC East for the last, like, 10 years. I mean, really. So I think this is the most vocal he's been this year, which I kind of appreciate. He's kind of feeling himself a little bit more, which I dig too. Your thoughts on what Kirby is talking about that. Do you agree with him? Do you disagree with him? And then please feel free to take it right into the game this weekend.
Fair enough.
The floor is yours, sir.
All right. So, I hate Florida. I hate the Florida Gators. I don't like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I don't like the Miami Heat. I know they're not there, but they're in the state of Florida. The only thing I like about Florida are the theme parks. That's it. And the beaches. Barely. I don't even really consider Florida really a part of the nation at this point because of how they've been doing with Corona and everything. I think it's basically a different country. I don't like them at all. Like, just thinking about them just makes me want to upchuck just a little bit because I just the level of disdain that I have for them, for the state. And that's just real. That's just a part of the rivalry. And it's back to your question though. Do I agree that the game should probably move away from Jacksonville? Yes and no. Yes, it is not a mutual site. It's, I think, somewhere in the middle will probably be somewhere like closer to like Valdosta, Georgia. Barely. I can see why he would make that kind of statement and further his reasonings why, but it's really just been tradition. And it's been going on there for so long. I it would feel a little bit weird to me to change it, but maybe it should change. So I'm somewhere in the middle. I see both sides of that argument. As Georgia, Florida for a recruit, just to be there, to be present and handle all those, like the events, and it's an atmosphere. Georgia, Florida is always an atmosphere. It's always a turn up. It's always a fun time before the game, whether we win or lose. Afterwards, it's whatever. It's super sweet if we win, but if we don't, then, you know, it's a very bad time. But there's fun times to be had if you're in the area. If you know, you know. But about the game itself, because I'm going to segue into that right now. Cam, I'm not wearing the John Lennons that I've been wearing. I am wearing aviators. And the reason why I am is because Georgia's going to soar all over these boys this weekend. I'm going to love what we do. We're going to eviscerate these boys. I don't know what kind of two quarterback system they think they got going on or what have you, but these Florida boys are in for the biggest whooping that we've put on these boys in years. Kendall Milton's not going to play. He's done for the next few weeks. Hell, he'll probably be gone by the time we see you guys still as he's recovering. But that's okay. We got Zeus. And we got Lil Dalvin. So we're going to be fine. Oh, wow. We don't have a three-horn running back staple no more. We have two horses still. It's going to be fine. This Florida team is not going. I don't care if they have 1 week off, 2 weeks off, 3 weeks off, 4 weeks off. It doesn't matter. There's nothing, and there's no amount of preparation they're going to have that's going to get them ready for the utter beatdown that we're going to put on these boys. And it's not like the other games that we've had this year where it was like Auburn, where we don't like them, they don't like us. And yeah, that's a real thing. Or Kentucky, who came in undefeated, or some Arkansas who came in at a top five, top 10 ranking. This is different. This is completely different because we do not like them. And it is a very real level. These are our biggest rivals. These are the guys that we have the biggest disdain for. And this is going to put a hurting on them just because we can this year. This is going to be a historic beatdown. And I'm not sure what they did to deserve this on an interpersonal level on between players and coaches. But I tell you what, though, they have it coming and they're going to get it. We're going to beat these boys down. We're going to break them, and we're going to hang at least 40 on them. I'm done.
That was pretty good, man. That was a good one. October 2017, Georgia, number 3 in the country, beats Florida, unranked, 42-7. Is that where we're thinking?
Yes.
Okay. Interesting. I like this. I like this, JB. This is fun. This is my guy right here.
I am confident enough, and I think Florida's competent enough that they might be able to put 14, which nobody's done this year. They might score two touchdowns. They might. Mm-hmm. But I don't think they got much more beyond that. And yeah. We're getting JT back.
And you guys are getting JT back, which is big. Yeah. Connor says that JB Rand is his own segment now. Yes, it is. That's why there's a method to my scheduling madness when I lay out what we're going to talk about and how our segments go.
And since we were off last week, I have been spirit bombing this rant since 2 weeks ago. Like, this has been in the worst. We don't like them.
No. And you shouldn't.
We don't.
Also, there's a lot of guys on this Georgia team that remember last year's game. And that taste is still in their mouth from last year. When, I mean, Florida, it was a whooping. It was ugly. It was 44-28. You guys came in number 5. Florida came in number 8. And they put it on to something pretty good. And there's a lot of guys from that last year's team that still remember that. And I listen, extra motivation, right? That's all you need in a game like this.
It's a different level of hate mm-hmm. when you're playing your rival, your chief rival, mm-hmm. after they did what Florida did to us last year.
Sure.
Like, it doesn't matter. There's no Kyle Pitts. There's no Kyle Trask. It mm-hmm. doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter.
No.
If we see the uniform, they might as well have – it might as well be seeing red. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. This Florida offense is nowhere near what last year's was.
No.
Last year's was a well-oiled machine for most weeks of the year.
Absolutely.
This offense is just not that. They just don't – good, serviceable. But it doesn't have – it doesn't have the horses that they had last year. That's no. very true. I agree with that. I think Florida still has a solid defense as defenses go. I think it's good.
Sure.
I think they definitely don't have a defense that's anywhere near as good as the one they're going to see on Saturday, which, I mean, God help Emory Jones if he plays most of that game. He is – you guys are going to pick him off probably three times before Richardson comes in if Emory starts.
Assuming he gets the ball off.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, he's been dicey a lot this year, and he hasn't played an elite defense yet. I mean, they played Alabama, and they played Alabama really close and ended up losing that game. So that there is a marker there. But even in that game, he made some questionable decisions.
Sure. And Alabama is not the same defense as this is, clearly.
Sure. Absolutely. You guys are going to turn him over like two or three times before Richardson takes over, I think. That's it. It's across the throat. Obviously, I will be hoping that Florida loses as I do every week. I am, however, a Kentucky fan this weekend. I want Kentucky to beat Mississippi State because we see Kentucky next weekend. And I want Kentucky to stumble against Tennessee. I don't want them to stumble before Tennessee. I want them to stumble against Tennessee because I think this Tennessee team can beat Kentucky. I think as shallow as we are, I think we're good enough to beat Kentucky. I think our defense is severely underrated for what it is, for not nationally or elite and all that kind of stuff. I don't mean that. But for how we're playing and what we are, I think we're severely underrated. And Kentucky is going to have to see Mississippi State's air raid offense, which averages 75 plays a game. And then they're going to have to turn right around and walk into our offense, which averages 83 plays a game and can get to 100 if we need to.
Mm-hmm.
So I am a Kentucky fan. I want Kentucky to beat Mississippi State because I want to be the ones that trip them up. I don't want it to be anybody else.
And I think it's very much possible.
I think so, too. I think we can. So I'll be very interested to see. Let's get into the big games of this weekend. We're going to talk through some. Obviously, we've talked through Georgia, Florida.
Right.
We know how you feel there. Ole Miss, Auburn. I just don't see Auburn winning that game.
Absolutely not. Bo Nix is still streaky.
Yeah.
We don't know who, like, the good weeks are good. Everything else, questionable.
Yeah.
And they go as far as he goes.
Yes. I think what Auburn's doing under first-year head coach is very impressive, so I want to give him credit for that too. Yes. I don't see them beating Ole Miss. Which, by the way, Ole Miss won you some money last week because you had them on your best bet.
Yes, they did.
Ole Miss -9 over LSU, and Ole Miss won by 14, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So good call there. Michigan State is probably the game of the week, I would say.
At noon.
Michigan State is always balanced, and Michigan always has Jim Harbaugh. So I don't know, like, I don't know what to think.
I think that's the best way to put it, because they're undefeated, but we don't know who Michigan is. Like, are they really that good? Or have they just been skating by just off of the fact they haven't really played anybody? Like, who are they really?
Yeah. I mean, that's it. They're right. Both teams come in undefeated. I think severely under the radar. I think nationally people just aren't really paying attention to either team in the state of Michigan right now.
No.
As far as play goes, which I think makes sense. I don't think anybody in their right mind thought Michigan State would be undefeated to this point, much less Michigan.
No, nobody did. Nobody had that on their bingo cards.
Harbaugh has to win this game, right?
Absolutely.
Like, he just, this has to, this is one of two must wins for Harbaugh this year.
Yeah, this in Ohio State. Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. So Harbaugh has to win, which means Michigan State's going to win. So that's fun. The other second biggest game in the Big Ten is Penn State, Ohio State.
Yeah.
JB, I think my practical mind says Ohio State, but the way I view the Big Ten, that part of my mind says Penn State. What do you think?
Honestly, I'm with you. Like, looking at the rankings, it should be Ohio State.
Uh-huh.
But they're in a very similar boat to Michigan. Like,
yeah.
Who are you?
Yeah.
Like, exactly. You're a little bit more high profile, but you still lost to an Oregon team that's gonna slip up any given week now.
It's very close. They have a lot of one score wins under their belt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not much has changed in the way of them.
No.
I mean, Ohio State's been getting more offense in, more consistent offense, which is what kind of plagued in the first couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But still.
Yeah.
Are you really? Because we still don't know.
Yeah. I'm with you, man. My last marquee matchup this weekend, we had to talk about it. We got to show love to the czar, the head honcho, the owner and operator of Shooting the Sports Ish, our guy Tony, mm-hmm. Baylor, a ranked one-loss Baylor, is playing host to that team in Austin. That other team that calls themselves UT, even though they're not. Texas goes to Baylor, a really good Baylor team.
A really good Baylor team, and against a Texas team that's three quarters good.
They're waning a little bit here under Sark. They're trying to figure it all out. I'm really excited for this Baylor team. They've got a really good defense.
They got
a really good defense.
They've really been like under the radar, sneaky good. Like, we don't know who Ohio State or Michigan is.
Mm-hmm.
We know who this Baylor team is.
Yes.
They're good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're really good.
Yeah.
And the issue I'm having here is Texas, they're not bad.
No.
They are literally like, what, two difference of two players away from being a one-loss team?
Pretty much, yeah. Yep. Something does have to give, and I'm very interested into what is going to give. Bohannon's just doing everything right for them, the quarterback for Baylor. Like, he's playing well enough to not screw Baylor.
Yeah.
And that's why they're 6-1. My God, it's a lesser version. So I'm not trying to, but it's a lesser version of Georgia. you have a competent quarterback that won't lose you the game, and you put him right behind a defense that's going to keep people out of the end zone long enough that they will give you a chance to win. It's the same formula. It's a different level of math, but it's the same formula.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're in, you know, doctoral physics, and they might be in algebra too, you know, like freshman year of college. So it's math, but it's different levels, but it's very much the same thing. Like, don't turn it over, play clean, put points on the board, and we're going to put the game in the hands of our defense that's exceptional in the conference that they play in. And they're going to do just enough to give us a chance to win. We're going to go out and win, and we're 6-1.
At the end of the day, yeah, you saw for X at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it.
All you got to do. And Baylor has successfully solved for X 6 times out of 7 games.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, that's a pretty good recipe for success there.
Absolutely.
Their only loss was 2 weeks ago to it was a 10-point loss. It was at it was in Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State ends up losing to Iowa State this weekend, which was weird, but they covered, so my bet won, but they lost, so it was weird. I don't necessarily see that as a bad loss for Baylor, though. So I'm, you know, I don't really know. I don't think I see that as a bad loss for them. But, man, Baylor goes Texas, TCU, and then November 13th, Baylor plays host to Oklahoma. That is going to be if Baylor wins Texas and TCU, they are going to host College Game Day out there.
And I'm not going to lie to you. I like Baylor's chances.
I like their chances. I'm with you. Yeah, I do too. Ashley chimes in. What's going on? Ashley says, Roll Tide from Hawaii. Love Hawaii. Not really fond of the first two words you put in the sentence, but Hawaii seems lovely this time of year.
I mean, yeah, I'm pretty sure they have a beautiful tide out there in Hawaii.
I think so too. I hope the tide in Hawaii rolls just lovely for you, Ashley. Absolutely. No, appreciate you hanging in here with us. And obviously we have to show love to, they're still the measuring stick upon which all other college football programs are measured. They just are. I don't like saying it. Okay. But I have to.
I mean, yeah, for the sake of Ashley, yeah. But yeah. I mean, they're not number one right now or anything.
Yeah, they're not number one. They just beat the crap out of me by 30 6 days ago. but, you know, we take solace in the fact that they're not number one, I guess. No, I appreciate you hanging out with us, Ashley. That's
absolutely,
that's awesome. And and all the way from Hawaii. This is our first Hawaii listener.
That's awesome.
So that's really exciting. JB, we're going into segment three. Segment three, as always, is brought to you by our friends over at Drizzly. If you're watching the live stream, we have the link down below. The link is going to get changed a little bit to shorten it up, but right now it just kind of is what it is. It's tinyurl.com/drizzly, D-R-I-Z-L-Y, 1-Z, S-T-S-I. Hop on there. It is Uber for alcohol. You can hop on the website. You can order any beer, wine, or liquor that you need, and it will be delivered right to your doorstep. You can fill the entire fridge right when College Game Day starts, and you can have the fridge fully stocked by the time the first kickoff happens in whatever time zone you're in. For us, it's noon. For Hawaii, it's definitely not noon.
Definitely not.
It's a little bit different of a time zone. But yeah, it's our friends over at Drizzly. So tinyurl.com/drizzly, STSI. Order all your alcohol online. It'll be delivered right to you. You never have to leave the comfort of your own couch. And I figured, listen, it's appropriate to have an alcohol sponsor going into a segment when you're talking about gambling, I feel like. There's a lot to unpack in that sentence, but we're going to unpack it maybe later.
Sure.
Ashley says, I'm from Mobile, been a fan since I was five. I'm not a bandwagoner. I never questioned that you were a bandwagoner, Ashley. That's not definitely nothing that we questioned. But, you know, we question your general love of Alabama, but I don't question if you were a bandwagoner or not.
Oh, yeah. You're from Mobile. I understand.
Yeah, no, I get it too. I just love Alabama. I really do. I love the state of Alabama because there's literally, it is two things. And anytime I ever meet somebody in Alabama, I only ask them one question. They're like, I'm from Alabama. And my question is, War Eagle or Roll Tide?
That's it.
And that's it. That's all I need to know. Because nothing else exists in the state of Alabama other than Braves baseball. Nothing exists in the state of Alabama.
Shout out to the Bravos.
Shout out to the Braves. It is. I ask one question to every person I meet from Alabama. War Eagle or Roll Tide? Most of the time it's Roll Tide, but that's it. Ashley says, oh, I don't even want to say those words. You don't have to, Ashley. I'm sorry that you had to listen to my voice utter those words. I apologize and repent. All right, so we're heading into segment three. We have a really fun game that we play. We encourage you guys to play with your friends next year. You can't play with two. Well, I mean, you could play with a lot of people, but it might not work out very well. Not really sure. So JB and I, at the beginning of the year, started the walk-on record challenge. And the deal was we got to pick five teams that were ranked in the preseason top 25. None of the four teams from last year's playoff were eligible. So we each picked five teams that were preseason top 25 and one team that was outside of the preseason top 25. And the goal is simple. Who has the best overall record between those six teams at the end of all of college football? So not at the end of the regular season, at the end of bowl season and at the end of the playoffs, if you have somebody who's in the playoffs. Once the last game is played, we'll declare a winner. I don't know what the winner gets.
Bragging rights?
Sure. Why not?
I guess.
So we're playing this game all season long. We encourage you guys to do this next year with some friends. I'm going to run down the list real quick. So JB has Georgia, Oregon, Wisconsin, Miami, Florida, and Oklahoma State was his outside the top 25 choice, which was an awesome choice, by the way. Good for you.
I know, right?
I have Cincinnati, Coastal Carolina, Texas A&M, Iowa State, Arizona State, and my outside the top 25 pick was Liberty. Felt pretty good about that.
Yeah.
We had a third player in the game, Teddy. I still keep track of Teddy's scores, but it's not looking great for him, so I really don't want to put him on blast like that, so we're just going to not tell that record. JB, so far through 8 weeks of play, we're getting into bye week season, so the numbers are a little bit skewed and a little bit different now just because we're getting into the time of bye weeks.
Of course.
But JB, you are currently sitting at 30-12 overall, and I am currently sitting at 35-9 overall. Ooh. So my teams have only played two more games than yours. I think that's how that math works. Yeah.
I'm taking another L this weekend.
Few more losses, few more wins. You're gonna go 1-1 somehow this weekend.
Somehow.
I hope it's the right 1-1, but you're gonna go 1-1 this weekend.
Oh, it's gonna be.
So that's the game that we play. We just keep a little running tally of all the teams that we have. It's five teams that were in the top 25, one team outside the top 25. And we just keep a win-loss total. So there we go. That's the major update there. We're also now going to update our best bets, our hot and ready best bets, because there is nothing better than what, JB?
Little Caesars.
There is nothing better than Little Caesars pizza. And some people have asked me about this, and they think this is like a gimmick, or they think it's a prank, or they think it's a joke, or they think we're doing this satirically. No, we are not doing this as a joke. We're not doing this as a prank. We're not doing this to make fun of people. Little Caesars is the best pizza on the face of the planet, and we love it. And that's just how it is. I don't know any other way to say it other than that. You might think we're wrong. And you're welcome to your wrong opinion. But it's not. We're right. and Little Caesars is awesome. So we made an entire segment based around them because we love them so much.
They're not a sponsor of ours,
but they will soon. So our hot and ready best bets for the year, JB, on fire last weekend. Oklahoma State covered the +7. Ole Miss covered the -9. We're 11-6-1 this year as bettors. We're making money.
That's wild.
It is wild because also, if you follow us for gambling advice, that's your fault. We say that very upfront. We're not really good at this. We just do this for fun.
But if you have listened to us,
there you go.
You're reaping benefits.
Yeah, you're making money. But if you look at us as people you should go to for betting advice, again, that's your fault. So at your own risk, I'm not responsible for your money, all the other disclaimers, whatever, whatever. So JB, we're getting into this weekend, hot and ready best bet. I'm going to go first, if that's okay.
That is perfectly fine.
My hot and ready best bet, I'm doing this. Shout out to Tony, which is what he is in my phone, because that group is amazing and should be given more love, really, from R&B groups and boy bands. Tony was awesome. I'm taking Baylor -3, laying 3 points at home against Texas. I think Baylor gets the job done.
Okay.
Oh, Ashley wants to make a deal. Ashley's okay. A soccer capper. If she says, you give me a football pick and I'll give you some bangers. Done. I don't know if ours are going to be bangers, but I can give you some picks. You Absolutely. Didn't say they had to be good. You just said I had to give you picks. I can give you picks. I don't know if they'll be good, but I can give you picks.
Hey, if you want to do pro football on that one, I'll take that one.
I don't know. I don't bet soccer a lot, but I'm willing to if she's a soccer capper. So let's talk about it. JB, that's where I'm at. I'm locking in my money this weekend in Waco. Baylor -3 over Texas from our friends over at BetUS. Log on to BetUS.PA, and if you log in there at at checkout. You can't check out on a betting site, but what you can do is you can log into it. And at login, if you type in the promo code STSI25, you'll actually get $25 added on to your initial investment. And you can do that with our friends over at BetUS, BetUS Official on Twitter. JB, what is your hot and ready Little Caesars amazing pizza best bet of the weekend?
They've got Florida +14.
Mm.
That's what they've got.
Mm.
Yeah, no. I'm going against that. Mm-hmm. All the way.
All the way. Do it.
All the way.
Do it. I love it. So, JB, officially, just because I want to hear you say it, because I do love those sweet words that you're about to utter, officially, what is your bet?
I'm taking Georgia.
There it is.
Minus
Georgia, -14.
Yes. On this day.
On this day. I see clearly. Everything. All right. Knock it off.
Everything has come to light.
amen and amen. that's a good one. Ashley said a few things here. Ashley just sent us like 5 soccer bets, I think.
Oh, wow.
Dortmund versus Köln, both teams to score over 2.5 goals. England Premier League, Mohamed Salah to score against Liverpool and to win +120. That makes sense. Or Liverpool to score in both halves, -120. Dang. Then she said, you're welcome. Thank you, Ashley.
Oh, well, wow.
You can take the 2 bets that we gave because we think those are going to hit. I'll give you one more bet. Iowa +3.5 at Wisconsin this weekend. Boom, boom. Iowa is the better football team, and they're getting points on the road. So that's an auto take, I feel like.
Absolutely.
Ashley also paid a compliment. Georgia's looking good.
Oh, well, thank you.
Bless you, Ashley.
That's nice.
I'm excited for you guys to play each other in the SEC title game. I can't wait for
Absolutely. That. After this game, Georgia pretty much coasts till the SEC championship.
Yeah.
Aside from Tennessee.
Thank you for that. I really appreciate that.
Hey, I don't think y'all are going to be easy, but I think everybody else, yeah, that's easy.
I feel like we'll... Ashley said she doesn't know if she's excited for the game or not. I feel like Tennessee will do a lot with Georgia like we did with Alabama. I think we'll scare the crap out of you for a quarter. I think we'll pester you for probably the next two. And then I think just defensively, you'll probably wear on us in the fourth quarter. Maybe a dumb turnover or something like that, and you kind of extend the lead. I kind of see the Georgia game going a lot like the Alabama game did. For the first quarter, I think we'll scare the crap out of you. I think you'll text me at the end of the first quarter and go, holy crap, what's happening? And then the next two quarters, I think you'll text me like, why won't you guys go away? You're annoying. And then the fourth quarter, you'll just text me like GGs or something like that.
GGB.
Yeah, I feel like that's what it is. Ashley says their O-line sucks. Listen, Ashley, I'm not saying I agree with you, but I am saying you're not wrong. I think Alabama needs a little bit of help. I think their O-line isn't what it used to be. I think parts of their team aren't what they used to be, but it's still a very good team.
Yeah, and Bijan Robinson is a hammer.
Oh,
God.
How we held on to Alabama's running game as well as we did for four quarters was a feat in and of itself. I mean, we never let them run wild on us, which was great. Other than Bryce Young, but
yeah, he's not exactly Derrick Henry, but he's more Mark Ingram.
Yeah, he's good, man. He's just another good running back from Alabama. Who knew?
Like those don't exist.
Yeah, thank God we got Jameson Williams. Yeah, absolutely. Completely agree with that. Bijan's the guy from Texas, by the way, who you were thinking. Right. But you were thinking of, yeah. But yeah, that's it for us, JB. We did amazing because we're awesome, I feel like, right?
It's just another week in the office for us.
You know what? It's for
the dorm room.
Another week in the dorm room. I feel like this is for our dorm mates. We're a podcast of the college kids for the college kids. And that's just who we are, I think, as people too.
You guys are welcome.
Yeah, absolutely. You're welcome for us. No, that's not what we mean. We appreciate you guys hanging out with us. We appreciate you giving us a listen. Like we said, follow us on Twitter at @WalkOnSTSI. We'll absolutely follow you back. Keep in touch with us. Whatever you want to talk about, we want to talk about with you.
Tweet at us on Saturday. We're going to be on there all day long.
Absolutely, all day long. It might be you for the second half of the day because I'm going to be at a wedding because I have a bye week, so there's really nothing for me to do. So I'm going to go to throw it back. I'm going to go get crunk at a wedding this weekend.
Ah,
there it is.
Turn up
indeed. JB, I think that's it, man. I think we covered everything. Is there anything you wanted to add in there? Did we get everything?
That's it. Georgia State plays, the false GSU this weekend, but that's it.
You stop it right now. You stop it right now.
The pretenders.
Ashley says, take the Bengals -10 to crush the Jets. I love that play. I really
do. Absolutely.
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 And then Ashley says, thanks, guys. Thank you, Ashley.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Come hang out with us anytime. Every Thursday. We're right here.
Yeah, we'll be here.
We will be. JB, that's it for us, man. What do we want to tell the people before we get out of here?
All right, don't forget to follow us on our socials. You can find me at JB versus the world on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. And you can find me on Twitter at JBV the world because versus was just too long for them. My central hub is JBversustheWorld.com.
Dude, that was good enough for me. I'm on Twitter at CM Says Stuff.
All right. Take care of yourselves and each other. Yeah.